Slightly overcast skies out here at Blue Water Sand Fest, which opens at 10 o'clock today. I suspect by 10 o'clock, though, that we'll have blue skies and sunshine. It's not going to get real warm today, but we'll be in the 80s on Saturday and on Sunday. Come on out and check out all the tons and tons of sand here, and I can't wait to see what the sculptors decide to make out of all this sand. There wouldn't be a Sand Fest without Bill Knight and his Sand Lovers Company, which puts this on, and events like it all across the country, and he's here with us right now. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
How did you get into this line of work? I know I ask you this every year, but it's such a great story.
Yeah, we just playing on the beach, being a, you know, like everybody does, go to the beach and play in the sand, build something, try to build something cool. And then we discovered that there was actually a level of master sculptors. So we then learned from them how to do it the right way so the sand stays together. And then it was just like competition after competition, and now we're doing it professionally.
It's a whole world that I think a lot of people don't know even exists until they come to an event like Sandfest. They start talking to these sculptors about how they got their start, and really the way that they all got their start was at events like this.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have our amateur group, and we've already in the seven, this is our seventh, you believe it? 7 years. It's 7 years. So we already have amateurs that have moved up to the advanced amateurs, and then hopefully, you know, they'll work their way into the masters. But yeah, it's like, that's how I started competing as an amateur sculptor, and then went to what we call state championships and won that, and then I got invited to compete as a master. So
where are some of these people from? Because that's the interesting thing, is once you start talking to them, find out where they're here from.
We have an interesting dynamic this year. We have Amazing Walter, who anybody that was here last year saw what he did. And he, you can already see the start of the castle he's doing. Yeah. And he's from South Padre Island, Texas. He won first place last year. Well, this year, his ex-wife, Lucinda, is here carving. And Lucinda's niece, or nephew, Emerson, is here. So we got a little
family competition. Family.
Well, yeah, they're from Texas, but originally from Michigan. Okay. Emerson actually lives in Grand Rapids. And then let's see, we have Lori is from Ohio, Brian Turnbow from Chicago. Brian's never been here before. So we have a couple sculptors from Massachusetts, from Florida. So pretty much covering, in Canada. So we're pretty much covering the whole spectrum of the United States.
Who judges the event?
We pick the Friends of the Fort Gratiot Light find some judges for us, local, kind of maybe celebrities or local businessmen that have an eye for an art, and, you know, a couple art people too, because it's always, you know, judging is always subjective. I don't care what it is. It's always, especially with this, it's very subjective of, so I spend about 30 minutes with the judges, kind of showing them pictures and training them. Not training them so much as just showing them what they should be looking for.
They work right up to the very end of this event in most cases. How many hours go into making a successful sand sculpture?
So how many hours go into making a sculpture? It's really contingent on how much sand you have, how much detail you're doing, and how many people you have to work on it. And also probably the quality of the sand. These guys have 21 hours over 3 days, and they're specifically timed. They start at, let's say, 9 o'clock. They work until 1 o'clock. They have a lunch break for an hour, and then they come back at 2 and work until 6:30. So just as an example, I'm not sure, didn't memorize the schedule.
The exact
right.
Hours.
But that's basically how it works. It's always specifically timed. Only specific time can you be in your plot working.
It is so much fun to watch them at work, too, especially the different tools in their toolbox. A lot of them make their own tools. They use kitchen tools. I mean, they'll use anything that they can to get the detail in there.
Well, it's absolutely right. It's there's tools that we have to make. I like to use that old saying, there's a right tool for the job. So if I have that tool, then it takes me less time to do lettering, or it takes me less time to make a castle window, something that simple, right? So we invent our own tools. We use clay sculpting tools. We use concrete trowels. And for me, getting into the industry years ago, it was fun just to come up with different tools that you could use.
What advice would you have for an amateur that's maybe going to do this for their first time? Maybe somebody comes in this weekend. They get a nice plot of sand over there. What advice do you have for them?
I would say come and watch my demonstration today. I think I have a couple. There's actually free lessons. We have one of our sand sculpting instructors here that's going to give free lessons. It's kind of geared for kids, but adults, if they do it or watch it, you learn the little tricks that get you through. A lot of people don't understand you need to use a lot of water. And the other is, any amateur getting into this needs to understand that A, it's very addicting, and B, it takes a ton of practice. It's like if you're playing golf, you know, you're not going to get better if you only golf once a year, right? So you need to get out there and practice, whether it's here at a competition or it's at one of the local beaches.
Yeah. Well, plenty of sand around here to do that with, that's for sure. I forgot to check the schedule. Are you guys doing quicksand this year?
Yeah, we are.
I love the quicksand. Tell us what that is.
Quicksand is a speed sculpting competition. So what we do is we have a podium with two what we call pound-ups in a bucket of sand. And we introduce two sand sculptors. They come up. And the audience chooses the subject. So then we give them the subject and we give them 10 minutes to sculpt it. So let's say it's Abe Lincoln. And they sculpt that in 10 minutes. And then by round of applause, the audience chooses the winner. And there's two a day. I believe it's at 1 and 5:30. And it's very interactive with the audience. The audience gets them going. And so if anybody listening gets a chance to come and see that, to me, the entry fee is worth just seeing that show.
I totally agree. You must like Port Huron because you keep coming back. This must be a good event for you guys.
It's a good event. It's you know what's good about this, Paul? Marianne and I are originally from Michigan. We live in Florida now. So we love Michigan. We always wanted to bring our art form back here. Port Huron, this area, when I met with Dave Brooks, the chairman of the event years ago, 8 years now. He had the vision of increasing the foot traffic here, right? And you, from coming every year, have seen every year it's grown. There were people that live in Port Huron that didn't know this park was here. So that visibility of the park and of the art form and the historic site, that every dollar raised here goes back to the historic site. I think we're around the 150,000 mark over the 7 years. And you can just walk around year after year and see the things that have changed. That's what keeps us coming back. I mean, sometimes it's all about the almighty dollar, but a lot of times like this, it becomes, you know, of course I have to make a living, but it becomes looking at, this is the oldest lighthouse in Michigan, and it's really cool to see it still operating.
It's pretty special. We're pretty proud of it, and this is a great way to celebrate it and to help fund it and to just have a really fun weekend. I'll tell you what, the weather this weekend is looking fantastic. That's the one thing nobody has any control over, but it looks like you're in for a really nice weekend of weather here.
Yeah, that's always sketchy in Michigan, right? They think it's that saying, wait 10 minutes and we'll see. But yeah, today, if it stays cloudy, that's the perfect day to come to a sand sculpting event, because the bright sun is not washing out the detail on a sand sculpture. So come rain or shine, people think if it rains, it washes away the sculpture. And there's many people that have come and seen that it does not. You know, that last year, that big welcome sculpture, it rained a Thursday very hard for several hours and nothing happened to it. So rain or shine, today's a great day. It's a little cooler.
Now, Bill, a week from now, all this sand is going to be gone. All these creations will have been knocked down. Describe what that's like at the end of SandFest. Everybody's gone home. It's Sunday night. What happens to all these beautiful sculptors?
On Sunday night, the sculptors go around, and after the event's closed and there's no kids around, nobody around, the sculptors go around and they'll actually try different things that they wanted to do with the sculpture. Like if you got a big freestanding arch, you know, and I know people can't see it, but Walter has a big freestanding arch on his castle when you first walk in the event. So he might take a trowel and try to cut that more to see how much the sand will hold. So next year if he comes, that will help him determine how easy. Now, Monday morning they come down. Monday morning, the construction company comes in and a local company comes in, Barola, and they tear them down, put a load of them in a dump truck, and take them away. Last year, they re-nourished a local beach with the sand, 500 tons. I'm not sure where it's going this year. I don't know that I've heard. So it used to hurt me to see him come down?
Well, yeah, it's got to, because that's a whole weekend of blood, sweat, and tears and love going into those pieces of art, and then they just disappear.
Yeah, we did a Jeep. Marianne and I did, and another sculptor did a Jeep Gladiator, the new Jeep pickup, in Orlando for Jeep, and that was probably the hardest one to watch come down, because it was 7 days of 12 hours a day, and it was exactly, look, you parked the real one next to it, and the only difference was it was sand colored. So that one was a hard one to watch come down, but traditionally it doesn't bother me.
It's temporary. Take lots of pictures, right?
Yeah, I always say, if I get attached to a sand sculpture any more than a good picture, I'm going to have a miserable life, right?
Fair enough. Bill, always enjoy our conversations. Thanks for coming back to Port Huron this year, and have a great weekend at Sandfest.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad you're here, and good seeing you again.
You too, Bill. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.